You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Is your pet stressed out? Does your pet need annual vaccines? Which pet is best for a child? Would you know if your dog was in pain? Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor, where you'll learn everything about keeping your pet healthy and happy. From pet care, pet meds and grooming, to pet food, pet insurance and dental care, this is the place to find out everything there is to know about pet wellness. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets, because it's your pet. Health matters. Please welcome your Pet Doctor host, veterinary media consultant and veterinarian, Dr. Bernadine Cruz.
How you talk about yourself can greatly influence how you think about yourself. If you keep saying, "I'm so dumb, I'm a loser, I can never do it right," do this long enough and you'll start to believe it, a self-fulfilling prophecy. But the way in which we talk and think about our pets, each pet has its own strengths and limitations. Understanding them and you can lead to a more harmonious connection. Lisa Knowles and I will explore why we should respect our pets, how to understand their unique qualities, and how to more fully enjoy them. We'll be right back.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Petco, where the pets go. Petco, where the pets go.
Pet Life Radio has tail wagging, fur flying, fabulous deals for our listeners from Petco. Get $6 off your order of $60 or more, and up to 40% off the entire Petco site.
That's right.
But that's not all.
Because you're a Pet Life Radio listener, you'll also get free shipping on your order of $49 or more. $6 off, up to 40% off,
and free shipping
from Pet Life Radio and Petco. To get these awesome deals, go to PetcoDeals.com. That's PetcoDeals.com.
Petco, where the pets go.
X-Power is a global brand that offers a complete line of stand dryers, cage dryers, and multiple blasters that cater to both home and professional groomers. Designed to be quiet, lightweight, and powerful, X-Power pet dryers will save you time, energy, and money. The X-Power B2 Pro at Home Dryer is the perfect gift for family and friends. Please check out our specials at ViperPet.com and Amazon.com. For more information, visit xpower.ws or call 855-855-8868.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com. Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in and we'll see you now.
Lisa, thank you so much for being with us. This, I think, is a really important subject that people oftentimes don't think about. How we think about our pets, what we say about them, can really make a difference.
That's true.
How did you get into this? What's your background?
Well, I've had a very exciting career, actually. I have a master's in animal behavior, and the first part of my career was working with primates in research facilities. And my job there was to make their lives as good as they could be. So if they had to be there, what things could we do to make it okay that they're there? So that meant environmental enrichment, social housing, environmental management. I also got to do dog training with Patricia McConnell, who's a very well-known animal behaviorist, and that helped me learn ways to positively interact with dogs and the people who care about them. I own my own business as an animal behaviorist, where I learned to be a detective and to find ways to understand how animals think and behave. I was also head of the National Dog Training Program for Petco, so I got to create a new cutting-edge positive dog training program. And in that, I got to educate up to 1,400 dog trainers and then subsequently all of the people that they train themselves. And I learned that teaching people about the quality of animals and how to think about them in a positive light can really make a difference on how they interact.
So it's sort of like saying that you have a child that is, you know, oh, it's a bad child. Sometimes it's not a bad child. Maybe you have a child that's dyslexic, so it's not paying attention in school. So I love your idea of being a detective, trying to figure out what's going on behind the scenes, what's going on under the fur.
Definitely. And I think that's really important. The more you understand an animal, the more you understand how they communicate, the better you can help them, think about them, talk about them. So, as you say, an example of an animal might be, hey, I have a foster animal who goes to the bathroom all over my house, and I think he must not be very bright because he can't be potty trained. Or he maybe he's just a jerk. I don't know. Let's think about it. Maybe it's because he's fearful. Maybe it's because he's stressed. Maybe it's because he just never learned about pottying in the human environment. So figuring out his motivations really helps us think about him in a more positive light.
So it really seems as though what you need to do is sit down with the owner, so the rescue owner, the long-term family owner, and ask what's going on in their environment, how many pets have they had in the past. That's one of the things I'll oftentimes ask when somebody comes in with a new pet, saying, okay, have you ever owned a pet as an adult? And they'll look at me somewhat incredulously going, I've grown up with pets. You know, I've had pets since I was a little kid, going, but having a pet when you're a child and having your parents take care of it is somewhat like you being the big sister or the big brother. Now you're the mommy and the daddy. It really makes a difference as to what your role is in this pack, so to speak.
That's true. And I think it's so important, whether you have had a child or have had a dog your whole life or not, the more you learn about them, the better. And some people actually think of their pets as children, which I think is fantastic. I think people that love their animals that much and care about them that much are really good, caring people. The thing to keep in mind is that animals aren't children. They make decisions differently. They behave differently. And so if we're really careful and think about them as an animal, but as also an animal that we love, that we respect, that we admire, the relationship between us is going to be much stronger.
There are various, in particular, television shows that have trainers that within, you know, a half hour, hour show, they can take this very fearful pet, maybe a dog or a cat that's aggressive to another housemate, and in this short amount of time, poof, everyone's living happily ever after. Do you find that people are coming to you expecting you to do the same thing? And what do you tell them? Is it possible?
Sure. I think that a lot of people feel that way. And I'm actually going to equate it to weight loss. You know, you want to lose 10 pounds, 20 pounds, whatever. You're looking for the magic cure, the magic pill that you can take that can help you. And you know, there just isn't one. So it's the same with pets. I think a lot of those TV shows use the clips that are the most valuable, that give the most impact. But in the long run, again, it's about learning the individual animal, learning the motivations for what's going on with that animal. Sometimes there's a solution to it, and sometimes there's management to it. And it's a matter of figuring out what's right for the family and the animal.
What are some examples of things that you can only manage and not fix?
That's a great question, because I myself have a dog who's in that circumstance. Today, one of the most common behavior issues is dogs who are aggressive on leash. So your sweet little dog, wonderful little poodle or whatever, you can take him to the dog park, he does great. You can take him with your family pets, he does great. But when he's on leash, he's aggressive. So why is that? We have to think that through. Is it because he's mean? Is it because he's rude to other dogs? It really isn't that. In a lot of cases, what it is the dog feels constrained by the collar and the leash. They can't display their normal repertoire of behaviors to the other dogs by saying, hey, I'm friendly. I'm a nice guy. I'd like to meet you. Because they can't display those repertoire of behaviors, they sometimes are fearful, and they basically say the equivalent of, go away, go away, go away. So my dog Olivia, that's the circumstance with her. There's a lot of things that you can do to manage it. You can, you know, move away from other dogs. You can make sure she has treats and positive interactions when she sees other dogs. but it's something that I manage on a regular basis.
But what if you really want to have a dog that you can take to the dog park, that if you don't want to, you know, have to worry about it slipping out of its leash and attacking another dog? And it can be a big dog or a little dog that has this problem. And in my own experience, pets coming into my practice, it frequently seems to be those little kids that are just panicked when they see another dog, even at a great distance. What can you do for them? How do you address this?
How are you asking, how do I address dogs where the pet parents would like to take them to the dog park, but the dog is aggressive once they're there?
Yes.
Okay. In some cases, we just have to say to ourselves, this is not the right environment for my dog. Don't know why, his history, his background, he's too stressed, he's too fearful. And yes, unfortunately, some dogs actually are aggressive. Now, that doesn't mean there isn't a solution for any dog. In many cases, you can just do it very, very slowly. Maybe go to a dog park that has a fence, go up close, have lots of treats, make sure the dog knows it's really enjoyable. Get a friend for that dog. Find another dog or another couple dogs that he feels comfortable with. Have some play dates that way so that it's dogs that he knows. And then slowly evolve into the dog park. Again, still lots of positive praise, lots of positive talk to the dog. If other dogs approach, maybe he gets a treat. If he goes and interacts with other dogs but starts to, you know, make some poor choices about his interactions, call him back to you. Treat him again. Let him know that being near you is always a good choice. So some dogs, it may not be the right environment. Some dogs, I think with some work and some positive feelings and energy and work, it is a possibility.
Why is, in the introduction, and you gave me some background of what you're doing, this positive talk about how you talk about your dog? So as I were to, for instance, have a human child going and talking to my other girlfriend saying, oh, you know, this kid is such a problem kid, goes to school, gets into trouble. And all of a sudden I start believing, and my friends start believing that this is a problem child. But this is a pet. They don't understand the words that we're saying. Why does it make a difference how we talk about our pets?
That's a great point. And I think it's really valuable to point out that if you start to talk that way, you start to believe that way. And the same thing about your friends. They're going to talk back to you the same way. So it's not so much about talking to the animal. It's talking to the pet parents and the people around. So, for example, talking about the dog that has a hard time at the dog park, you might say, you know what, Rover is just the sweetest, kindest dog. I love him so much. When he's at home, he does a terrific job. He's really good with kids. It's just that one of his challenges happens to be at the dog park. But we're working on it really hard together, and I feel confident that we can find a solution. So whether I'm talking to my neighbor or my friend, or if I'm a dog trainer talking to a pet parent, thinking and talking about the dog in that positive light makes you believe.
So is positive thinking in your mind and positive talk one and the same?
Actually, I think they're slightly different. The positive talk is to other people and to myself. So just like with the weight loss issue, you know, I would say to myself, I love Rover so much, so sweet, he's a good boy, he has flaws, just like we all do. So that's how I would talk about him. But I am a big believer in how you think about animals. And I first learned this with primates, and I've learned it since with dogs and cats, respecting the animal, having admiration for the animal, appreciating their strengths and their qualities, knowing that they are a strong individual that is very beautiful on the inside and does the very best they can to make decisions on the outside. So when I say positive thought, it's the thought of respect. It's the thought of admiration. It's the thought of pride in the animal.
Well, we respect Ms. Knoll's information and respect your time. So here at Pet Life Radio, we want to give you some information from one of our sponsors. We're going to be right back after this short break, talk more about how we positively think about our pets and ourselves. We'll be right back.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Every pet is unique. Maybe they're gray in the muzzle, yet young at heart. Maybe they're growing out of the puppy stage and into their paws and ears. Or maybe they're just trying to maintain a more girlish figure. At PetSmart, we have the right food for your pet at a great value for you. PetSmart. Be better together.
Go to PetSmartDeal.com and save up to 30% on pawsome gifts for the pets and pet people in your life. Toys, collars, leashes, PetSmart gift cards, treats, and more. Go to PetSmartDeal.com today. PetSmartDeal.com.
Dyson.
The new Dyson Animal Vacs are powerful bagless upright vacuums for homes with pets.
Air muscle and radial root cyclone technology generates the strongest suction power to powerfully remove dust, dirt, and pet hair from the home or car.
To order your Dyson Animal Vac, go to DysonDeals.com. DysonDeals.com to order your Dyson Animal Vac today.
Dyson, music to your ears.
Coast to coast and around the world, it's All Behave with Arden Moore. Find out why cats and dogs do the things they do and get the latest buzz from wagging tongues and tails in Rin Tin Tinseltown. From famous pet experts and best-selling authors to television and movie stars, you'll get great tail-wagging pet tips and have a fur-flying fun time. All Behave with America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore. Every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets
on Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in, and we'll see you now.
Ms. Knowles, I love this fact that the way we can appreciate our pets that makes a major difference in how we interact. But I also see some of my pet owners coming into my practice who are in denial, who do not believe that their pet is possibly aggressive. Oh, my pet is a lovely pet at home. It would never try to attack a veterinarian or a veterinary staff or another dog or person. How do you get through to those people to make them realize that this is truly the situation that is occurring, and it's not necessarily saying your pet is bad, but this is one of its limitations?
I think that's so true. The key, again, is to make sure to highlight what's right about that dog, to make sure that they know, you know what, your dog is totally potty trained. And not everybody can say that about their dog. And you know what? Your dog doesn't get on the furniture, and he doesn't beg at the table, and, you know, he's very good with children. He's got so many wonderful qualities. You know what? We all have flaws. We all have things that are challenges that we need to work on. And I have to say, I do feel that Fluffy has some aggressive tendencies. And that's really important to know, because we love Fluffy, and Fluffy generally means well, and Fluffy is not aggressive because he doesn't like you or because he's angry at you. He's making choices that seem right to him. And so we need to accept that Fluffy may have a flaw, and that's okay. We all do. But the key is we need to remember that we need to help Fluffy not make any mistakes. We wouldn't want him to bite somebody. We wouldn't want him to bite a child. We wouldn't want him to bite you. We want him to be aware that sometimes Fluffy doesn't make the right choice. And that's okay as long as we're aware of it and we're prepared for it.
So, yes, I love this. You really emphasize the positive things in that pet's personality and say, okay, here's all our pros And there's a couple of cons. They can be something that can be injurious to the pet or to someone else. Let's focus on the positives, but be aware of the others. I think, yes, that's because I, for instance, you were talking about weight before. I will never tell someone that their pet is fat. It's fluffy. It is has overnutrition. But using the appropriate words seems to really make or break their ability, their willingness to understand what you're saying to them.
I totally agree. And, you know, as we were saying before, if you say it, you believe it. And coming from somebody like yourself, a veterinarian, a dog trainer, a groomer, a pet sitter, put it in the right light. Those people are respected people and have respected opinions about animals. And if they make the right approach, it helps the people accept something that they may not feel so comfortable with.
One of the things that you were talking about, speaking about people being uncomfortable, is the thought of having primates in a research facility. And you were saying at the top of this interview that one of your first career challenges was to make sure that primates, if they needed to be in a confined situation, that you enriched their environment. How have you found that enriching the environment of our dogs and cats has made a difference in their lives?
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, in a lot of cases, you think enrichment is something that zoo animals have or that, you know, research animals have. What does that mean for my pet? Enrichment is something that is objects, structures, treats, toys that enhance the life of the animal. And I think a lot of us know that family dogs and cats often sleep up to 20 hours a day. That's a lot of sleeping, and that's a lot of not doing anything very exciting. So if you can make an effort to make their lives as interesting as possible, so for your kitties, that might be having really great scratching and climbing structures and some really fun toys, and even some puzzle feeders where they have to work to get their food. And it's the same thing with dogs. You want to give them something to do. So, for example, every single day when I leave the house, when I go to work, I leave my dogs with a stuffed frozen Kong toy that has their meal in it. So instead of scarfing it out of a bowl in, you know, 20 seconds, they have to work on it for 45 minutes, and they're glad that I'm leaving. So that way, they're not
stressed.
Finally,
can you leave?
Stressed.
I want my food.
Exactly. So they're not, I mean, you know, any dog would be less stressed that their pet parent was leaving. And that's 45 minutes that the dog's not going to sleep. And then when I come home at the end of the day, maybe they get a game, a puzzle feeder, where they have to work through it to get some treats. Keeps their mind thinking and moving and active. And that keeps a healthier, psychologically and physically healthier dog or cat.
I think one of the reasons why we have overweight animals is because, yes, you say you need to get these toys, you need to do whatever. And I'm sure there are people like me. You're busy, you're running, you don't have time to exercise yourself. So you feel guilty, you come home, you throw a couple of extra treats down, going, okay, tomorrow, I promise. Tomorrow, doggy, we're going to go out for that walk, and tomorrow comes and it goes and nobody took their walk. So you throw an extra treat or you throw the toy down. And there's too many times I'll go out and I'll buy what looks like a really neat toy. I'll bring it home and I'll show it to my pets and it's like, yes. And you wanted me to do what with this? How do you find a good toy?
That is a terrific question. And, you know, it varies because your Labrador is going to be thrilled over a $1 tennis ball. But not everybody's like that. And what I'm a big believer in is interactive toys. They're very big in the pet product market right now. They're made by a company of animals or Kaijin. And basically what they are is literally a puzzle. So you actually sit down with your dog and put treats into the puzzle, and they have to do a variety of things, move this or push that, or it can take up to 20 minutes for them to finish it, and you're sitting right there with them to help them and to move the different parts with them. And boy, that's fantastic. You're spending time with them. You're not out in the rain. You're inside. The dog is thinking and you're having a bonding experience. So I'm a big believer in those types of toys, which are so prevalent in the market these days.
But what do you do for cats? Because I've tried some of these, and maybe it is just my cats. You try some of these little puzzle toys or a little ball that has the food in it, and they're supposed to push it around to have the food drop out and feed themselves. And at least my cats, I've done this, and they looked at it going, and your purpose of buying this toy was what? Because you want me to do, are you serious? What do you do for cats?
It's so funny. You know, cats are very different than dogs. They are, you know, independent and they have their own minds. And I would say the first piece is if you're going to use some sort of maybe treat ball or something like that, that is where the meal is. And all cats eventually are going to be motivated by where's their meal. The other thing is that you want to really appeal to the natural instincts of the cat. And that's the going after the prey, catching the prey, hunting, eating, that sort of thing. And so cats that have the opportunity to run and jump and play with a toy that they're hunting can be a really effective one.
So, well, one of the toys that I have for my cats that is the ultimate bestest thing in the whole world, and the price was absolutely zero, is I have some long sword-type plants in the backyard. And somehow, I'm not sure how we figured this out together, but when it dries, I think they think it's a mouse tail or something because it can be, you know, played with underneath the bedding. It can be played with on the stairs back and forth, and they'll chase and they'll run. And I love it because it's a cheap toy and they just get lots of energy chasing each other and chasing it. As a rule, can you say a particular type of toy for cats or dogs that they like the best?
Great question. First of all, I love your idea and I think it makes a really good point, which is creativity with a kitty, because the kitty doesn't like these 12 toys, but he does like this 13th toy. So I think creativity and perseverance are a great way to go. I'm going to go back to the interactive toys, definitely for dogs. For kitties, they actually have now some really good puzzle feeders. There's one that I've seen, and it's called IQ, and it has little tubes in it, and you put the food in the tubes, and the kitty has to reach their paw in, get hold of the treat, and slide it up and out of the tube. I've seen huge popularity with those. So I think now, again, there's a lot of really fun things on the market to try and be creative and persevere until you find the right one for your kitty, whether he's 8 pounds or 15 pounds.
One of the things that we do at my practice, and this may not be a bad idea for pet owners, it seems like everybody has another friend with a pet, etc. I'll buy toys, or the staff will buy toys, and our pets will go, I liked it when I first got it, and now I'm rather bored with it. Even if you put it away and bring it back out again, it's like, nah, it lost something in the translation. We'll almost have this lend-lease library where we'll bring in the toy to the office and going, okay, my kids will no longer play with this. It's up for you, whoever wants to play. So if you have a group of friends, if you go to the dog park and you find your animal no longer wants a toy, maybe just share it with somebody else. They might enjoy it.
I love that. I think that is the most clever idea. And you could, like you say, you could easily do it through your veterinary clinic, or maybe you have a pet sitter, or even, you know, if you have a dog trainer, the dog trainers are usually cat lovers too and might create sort of a library like that. I do like the idea of doing a sort of rotation. So having 5, 10, however many toys, one toy or two toys come out of the closet for a couple of days, and then they go back in the closet and you bring out something else. And yes, they might find, some of them they might find, you know, not as interesting as they originally did, but the rotation of toys is much more fun than a toy that sits on the living room floor all day, every day for months.
Great idea. Same thing you do with children. After a while, just put it away, bring it back out. It's like, wow, that's neat. It's like, this is a toy you had before, but as long as you want to play with it now, that's good. And then every once in a while, I'm sure that pets are like children. You have that binky that you've had since you were 3 years of age, and now you're going off to college, and that toy is going with you because that's very special.
It's true. I had one of those that went off to college with me. And, you know, there's dogs that I have a girlfriend who has a Rottweiler who has a little gorilla that she's had for, you know, 7 years. And she doesn't chew it up. She carries it around with her. She sleeps with it every single night. She puts it in different places in the house to let her mommy know, you know, different things. So, yeah, there are toys that dogs will become really attached to, and same with kitties.
Lisa, with all of this positive talk, is there one animal that has made the most positive influence in your professional career?
Yes, I would say that would definitely be working with the primates. I had a very special friend named Muckle when I worked with the primates, and she was too grumpy, we'll say, to get along with other primates so that she could have a friend. And so I worked really hard with her, did all kinds of different enrichment with her, quicker trained her to do a variety of just sort of tricks to keep her mind busy and active. But what I learned from her was she was the most amazing individual. And considering the circumstances that she lived in, her perseverance, her strength, her power, and her compassion towards me made me feel like what an amazing individual. I can't wait to tell the rest of the people that work here that these animals can be like this.
Great story. Lisa Knowles, this has been really very fascinating. Is there someplace people can go online to learn more about you and your philosophy of living better with our pets?
There is, and this is the name of my business. It's called Applause, but it's spelled A-P-L-A-W-S, applause.com. And you can go there and find out more about me and my experiences. And there are also some links there for some of these interactive toys that I think people would really enjoy learning about.
Well, I need a new toy for my animals, so I'm going to look into it and get some for me. So, Lisa Knowles, thank you very much for being with us today. This is Dr. Bernadine Cruz with The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio. Please tune in again next week. We'll have some more information on how to make you the best possible pet owner. Thanks for listening.
Pets can be a wonderful addition to your life because they're a member of the family. Keeping them healthy and happy is important. Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor with veterinary media consultant and veterinarian Dr. Bernadine Cruz. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. The Pet Doctor, on demand every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com.